The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here, and before we get into today's community building, I want to give a quick shout out to our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recaps, talking Season 1, Episode 6, Football Feminism, and you with me and Jess Sterling. Jess, how you doing?
I'm great. I'm a human being, and I'm here today.
A couple human beings
here. Just online. A couple humans hanging out.
Yeah.
So
we got a couple other human beings. We got a few other human beings if you want to make some introductions.
Yes, we do. We have now, I'm a community fan, but like I am no community fan compared to our guests today. So we talked about how, you know, last week, a couple weeks, we've had guests that maybe don't know that much, have only seen up through the episode we're watching. Tis not the case today. We have on two people notorious on Twitter for their community fandom. We have Jen from the Community Rewatch podcast. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Hello. Ooh. I'm great. How are y'all?
Fantastic. So excited. Just really excited. I have so many questions about the human being, and so I'm really excited to have people here who can help me out.
Well, it says on my business card, resident human being expert.
There you go.
So, happy to help.
Yeah.
And we also have joining us Matt, the man behind communities? How do
okay,
you pronounce
I
it?
I do want to fix this.
Yes.
The non-communist version is the
okay,
way you say
great.
It. Communities.
Communities. Yeah.
The name comes from Yvette Nicole Brown. She suggested the name and they ran with it in 2013. So
communities.
I don't feel like I knew that. There we go.
Huh. See, you're already getting trivia that nobody else would have been able to tell you.
I'm pretty hyped about this because
there's five of us that would know it. Yeah.
Just a few, just a little bit fewer than the amount of people who are watching the podcast right now. But yes, I'm really excited about this because we've had people of all, we've had human beings of all shapes and sizes and creeds and devotion to community on this podcast. And before we got on here, I was joking with Jen that I think that I have to be like the least knowledgeable community podcaster in the community podcasting game.
It's not inaccurate, maybe.
You're really close.
But I was thinking. I was like, no, I think, yeah, that might be true.
I wear it with pride.
Yeah.
Do it.
Part of the
community
shtick.
Newbie.
I'm learning. Proud. I'm learning. I'm evolving. I'm changing. Much like the study group is starting to evolve here in these early stages of community. And like, I've been really measured with like, we do our scores, we do our rankings. I think I'm still going to be relatively measured today because I'm still just like kind of like figuring out my footing within community and just being like the early days. Like I'm waiting for the show to like really just like explode for me. I'm obviously really loving it. But I'm really excited to have the takes of two people who are so steeped in community lore to weigh in on the show at like this early point still to like do some level setting, like some looking back at the show in some of its earliest days. This feels
Matt, like kind of like an iconic episode to a certain extent. Certainly the arrival of the human being feels iconic.
The human being is the huge one. It's really one of the more complete stories of the first time they really do a complete story. So there's a ton with this one. This is probably the first, like your current ranking, you have introduction to film as number one at this point. That's completely accurate, I think. It's going to evolve a lot this year. So I think this is a great episode, and it's one of the best dialogue-driven episodes they have, just flat out. This is top tier.
Yeah. Jen, this is the start of something. Like,
it's about to be a High School Musical, but like I don't want to make y'all pay for the really start of something new.
Wait, so we're at the start of like a terrifying story arc with the human being? Is that what's going on?
I mean, you got introduced to the human being. The human being, much like the study group and the show, will continue to evolve, and you will see the human being in different settings.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm.
Like, it will not get any less creepy. It will get creepier. It will
never not be creepy.
Jeff will make reference to the fact that it gets creepier.
And this is, I also think, like the first like big Dean episode too, where like we haven't seen a ton of him yet. Yeah. And I really feel like he's in his like element in this episode. Yeah. So that's kind of a big momentous occasion as well.
Well, and this is the first, I mean, when we talked about coming on this is the episode that hooked me. Like I was not really hooked on the show until this episode. And then there was that conversation on the football field where I laughed out loud and I was like, oh, I get what the show is now. Like, and I like it. Cause I was like chuckling to myself a little bit beforehand, you know, in the first couple episodes, but I was just kind of like waiting for it to hit a point where I was, you know, getting invested. And like Matt said, this is just the dialogue in this is so witty. Shout out to Hillary Winston, who is just A+.
Yes. Shout out to Winston the dog.
Yes.
Jeff Burley's dog, belated birthday boy.
Look at us forming connections. Yeah. But yeah, no, this is one of the earliest like examples for me of how the show could play around with pairings, and the storytelling works so well and it's going to continue to do that. But this was like the first instance where I was like, I can see what the show is going to try and do. So
yeah.
And before we while we're on that subject, before we kind of get into the episode proper, I'm curious, Jen and Matt, what are your like histories with Community? We love to ask people when they come on kind of what's your origin story with the show. So Jen, when did you start watching Community and like kind of your fandom of it?
So it's really funny because mine kind of goes a little backwards. So I did not watch Community in the first season when it was on the air. It was airing with all of the other Thursday night lineup, which is weird because I was definitely watching The Office at the time. Right. I don't know why I wasn't watching Community. But I remember the season one finale aired and my good friend Jamie texted me like in all caps, freaking out over the ending. So I knew how the episode ended before I even watched it the first time, because she's like, you need to watch the show. So I was like, all right, well, it's the summer hiatus. I'll watch the first season. And like I said, I was kind of a little wary because I was not getting super into it until this episode. Because I was like, oh no, am I going to be that one person who doesn't like the thing that someone recommended to me? Because I hate being that person.
Content.
I hate it's being that person.
Here this whole time.
I'm like so afraid I'm just going to be like, it's not as great as you were telling me it was. Right. But this was the episode that really hooked me. And I was like, okay, I can get on board with this. And so then I watched it over the summer between season one and season two. And then I watched season two live. And then I started doing reviews for the show during.
Winston!
Aw, Winston. I started doing reviews for the show in season three. And so it was the season three episode to Geography of Global Conflict. And on a whim, I had just like tweeted out my review and tagged Dan Harmon, and I didn't think anything of it, went back to work, came back to Twitter and saw that he had not only read it, but effusively praised it. Like, that's awesome. Tweeted me back and was like, this was exactly what I needed. I just devoured this at an airport bar. Great review, kiddo. And then like people from Community started following me. And so I was like, well, I guess I do reviews now. So literally from season three all the way up until the show ended, I was reviewing it every week. And I just like, I fell in love with it, and it was such a huge part of my, you know, I feel like it's like the way that I learned how to look at television critically is like Community is the show that taught me how to do that. And shout out to like Emily Vanderwerf and Alan Sepinwall, who were reviewing the show at the time, who like got me to think about why I do or don't like things. And then like the show got put on Hulu and there was the cast reunion, the Vulture reunion. And I was like, man, I kind of missed the show. I wonder if I did a podcast, if anyone from my old, you know, community fandom days would listen. And of course, Matt's like the first one that jumps on like, yeah, I would. So, yeah, then I started a podcast and thought I'm definitely the only person who's going to be talking about community.
No one else.
Like 11
Never
years
anybody
later.
Else.
Jen, it's just
no
you.
One. It's mm-hmm. just me. And I was just like, you. Oh my gosh, there's so many people.
Just ignore us. We're not here.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's, I mean, and we talk about it a lot.
This is
love...
like a very anthropological yeah. Foray into community.
Yeah. And like, I I'm no stranger to like criticizing the show. I'm like one of those people who I'm like, look, the show is flawed and that's okay. There's so many great things about it that have, you know, it's core memories and friendships that I still have through the fandom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just been a great, great journey, and it's been great rewatching it to do our pod and to do stuff like this too.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt, what's your origin story with Community?
I saw all the press about Modern Warfare, and I wanted to watch whatever that was because I like great television. I don't like mediocre. I don't like good. I just like great. And it makes me really picky. Or things I just watch with my spouse. That's about the only two things that really happen. And I watched Modern Warfare and I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I mean, this is the best. This is 22 minutes. This could have been 2 hours and you couldn't mm-hmm. tell. It was just, you've seen that one yet?
Yeah,
of course.
Okay. Yeah.
That was on the list.
Just amazing, amazing episode. And so I spent the summer, I watched starting about then, I spent the summer catching up and I watched starting with season two live. And then I'm just a fan, just like everybody else on Twitter. And I got to know the rest of the fandom, got to know Jen, I got to know Kat, got to know the community account. And when we got to the 10th anniversary, we were talking about things we needed to do to get people to watch. And we had this group chat that started among some of the fans to do that. And I reached out to Mike. Mike's the one who has the community's account. There was three when it started. And I said, hey, if there's anything I can do to help you, just let me know. And he's like, well, you could help me run the account. That would be a big help. And we were sitting about 5,000 followers hovering at the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
We were at 8,000 when it hit Netflix. We got to talk to Chris McKenna, the writer of a ton of great episodes, including Paradigms of Human Memory. He brought in Joel McHale for it was supposed to be
it was
5 minutes.
Chaotic.
It was in, we were planning for 5 minutes with Chris McKenna. We got nearly 30 with Joel and Chris mostly talking.
Oh my gosh.
I will have to share that video with you.
Yeah,
afterwards.
It's hilarious.
It was,
hilarious.
Yeah, I was just right here sitting going, yeah, no, you talk. Nobody wants to hear my voice.
You got it handled.
And we're right about, we're about 15,000 or so followers now. Oh, I mean, the community's been right now, this outside of when it was airing in the first three seasons, this is the best it's been community-wise. This is it.
Cool.
This is the best. And it's great. And 16 podcasts later.
I have to note, that this seems like there may be just like an X factor in the mix here in this time that like wasn't present before in terms of this being like the coolest time for community. So
moment Josh Wigler jumps on board, everyone's like, I've got to watch this show.
I'm not like identifying it. I'm just wondering out loud if perhaps there's a wild card in the mix that's just like making everything a little bit better.
He's not saying it's connected, but he's not saying it's
it's just a question. It's a theoretical. It's just like a rhetorical for the room,
you know.
I'll take anything.
Exactly.
Well, that's
a great answer.
I mean, like, you know, for me, like, this is my Lost experience, you know. Like, Lost was like that, you know. I think the way that that I have been able to really process like my understanding of community has been like filtering it through that show for me. Like, I know that like that I think like sort of like the fervor behind both shows feels very very linked to me, and it has been such a joy to like crack into this thing late. It's just been like kind of like a really interesting like exploration, you know. Like, I feel like I'm just like bobbing into this whole very vibrant other world that's existed this entire time that I never knew about. Like, community feels like a real culture, Jen.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's just like very, very, very lived in.
Yeah. I'd agree.
All right. Well, this is amazing. So we just, why is this the right episode for Jen and Matt? Like, historically, is it sort of like what Jen said, that this one is kind of like an episode that people look at as like, now things are popping.
Yeah. Off. I mean, I reached out to both of them and I said, listen, like, this is what I have available. Like, let me know which of these kind of sparks your interest. And immediately, I think both of them were like, this is the one. And I was like, that's it, done. And it is, I mean, I think like the human being aspect is very iconic. This is like kind of the first time you see Jeff and Annie really interacting alone. Yeah. We still have the Annie and Troy stuff, which really kind of bumps me out. But like we have like Britta being the kind of her most Britta, in my opinion. It is, I mean, it's not like, it's not my favorite episode of Community, but it's a really good episode. It's a, I would say it's like a solid episode of Community. It hits the beats, you know?
Yeah, like all those, the wittiness, like the back and forth, I think is what starts to make it characteristic. Like all of these different, like that, when I say that that conversation on the football field is between Jeff and Troy is one of my favorite things in this show. It's because of how rapid fire they go back and forth. And that's also just a testament to like, in this episode, I think they're starting to learn, especially with playing around with different pairings, like they all have chemistry together. All the actors have chemistry, but like, oh, what are the comedic strengths of each of the actors and what do they bring? Right. And like, they're starting to play around with how they bounce off of each other. And I think it's very clear in this episode that will become more clear later, like how that dialogue kind of, you know, ends up basically setting the stage for all of these different pairings and the different kind of rapid fire deliveries that they're going to do and all the different comedy. And I just love, I love all of the characters. I actually like, this is one of the episodes that's maybe a rarity for me where like every character I feel like is like on point, like all of like, even Pierce, I enjoy this episode, which does not often happen.
You know, there's some stuff in this episode that's just insane.
So, it is, but it's like so fun, like, because this is also the, you know, like, Jess, you were saying like, oh, the Dean becomes like, actually has a storyline in this episode, and you get to sort of see his personality a little bit develop that will definitely carry out into like the next couple of episodes specifically. So
yeah,
I love it.
And every little scene ends funny.
Yes.
Everyone has, every little exchange of dialogue has a banger kind of joke right at the end to throw you. So it's really one of the better, if you're introducing people to the show, this is one I like to use, because if you're interested in dialogue, if you're interested in that part of the craft, this is one of the best episodes for across the entire season. If you're interested in the homage, I'm taking you somewhere else. But this is very much about what type of fan you what type of person, what interests you. This one's got a hook for you if dialogue and humor and that snappy, especially on the football field, is just perfect. And every little touch is perfect.
And if you want to understand who these characters are, like, and how they're going to evolve, like, this is a perfect character study for each of them to understand exactly who they are, exactly what their, like, desires are at this point, and to watch them. Every character really does, I mean, maybe arguably not Pierce and the Dean, but, like, every character grows a bit in this episode, too, which is one of the things that I really appreciate. It's like, you get to see this incremental little bit of growth, and you get to understand who each of these people are, and it's very funny. Like, it's just, I was rewatching for this and I was like, oh, I don't even need to rewatch. I can quote most of this episode by heart.
All right. Well, let's quote the episode. If not by heart, then at least by Jess Sterling's copious notes. Let's dive in. This is what we like to do. We like to go into the recap. We're going to go through it scene by scene, beat by beat. We'll talk through the episode, chart our way towards those meow meow beans, which I still gotta figure out. I haven't done my meow meow beans yet. I know that this Jeff is nuts.
Josh is the Jeff and I am the Annie of like, Josh, do your homework for me, please. Aww. I can do my spreadsheet.
I don't do it. I my feeble brain can't process these things until like I've talked it through a little bit more. So we're gonna talk it through. I'll make some choices. And I'll say right now that like, to the point that you had made earlier, Jen, about like, oh no, am I going to be the one who Community doesn't work for? Like, I know that Community works for me. I've seen enough to know that Community works for me. And like, I've seen like deeper past this point to know that Community really works for me. And I know that if it doesn't come sooner than this, then at least, contemporary American poultry is going to be, you know, that's like my big pop off for the show. This one I thought was really, really, really good. Like, I think it was like about as solid and fun as I've thought the last few weeks are, but yeah, probably not like supremely deviant from my feelings on a lot of those, which I've been having fun with the show.
Yeah.
It hasn't like become electric for me yet.
Yeah.
And so I want, but a way my brain often works is like through conversation with other people, like I will see things I didn't see before. So I'm hopeful that that's going to happen.
Well, and this will be, but it's very interesting because season one, for the most part, you're going to find it. If you were watching Parks and The Office and 30 Rock at the time, it had the very, like they all had a very cohesive workplace comedy feel. And like, that is how Community operates until you get to toward the end of season one. Right. And then it starts going off on its own journey. And a lot of people, like, if you're really interested, I like season one a lot because it does that formulaic of like a workplace school comedy very well. But then if you're looking for like the Big Bang homage, like break out of the box, then Community delivers, and then it's going to keep delivering that kind of stuff for you. But there's a lot of stuff like that is set up in this kind of episode that will continue in seasons, you know, beyond this, that are, I love the character stuff. Like I love homages, but like, this is one of my favorites because it kind of perfects the, like what it is, which is just a comedy about a bunch of different people interacting with each other. So
yeah,
there's something for everyone, I feel like.
Yeah. And we've definitely encountered a bunch of those in the past couple of weeks that I've been, I've been happy because the way that we did this, obviously, Jess, right? Like we went through, like we went like at like nuclear powered speed. I don't know if that's the best form of speed. I don't know.
It was very fast. Yeah,
it was quick.
This one's gonna have more rewatch value as you go forward.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, great. That's the best part of some of these, particularly of season one, is that when you go back and watch it, you can start seeing the bits and pieces that make future episodes.
Yeah,
it's the DNA is all here, and then it. And when you go back and watch it, it adds a value to it that you didn't have before. So I think that's my favorite part of season one. As you go back, it's like, oh, I missed this. Or, like, oh, I didn't see this dynamic. It was there. It was always there.
Like, me and Chels were a little nostalgic sometimes for season one where everything was normal. Like, you know, like, oh, this is a normal.
Before it goes completely off the rails.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jess Sterling, take it away.
Yes. So we start off the episode in the study room. Annie's helping Troy study. Everyone enters as Pierce says, there's only one black hole worth studying. Everyone expects a gross remark, but instead he mentions an actual black hole that has the density of 40 suns and then adds on, just like my wiener.
Yeah. I think Jeff gives like the Joel's wait
little
for
like,
it.
Wait for it.
Yeah. Troy laughs and gives him a fist bump. This is again like setting up the Troy Pierce of it all that was supposed to, but never really
kind
of
took off. At any point, really, like, do they do a big Troy and Pierce thing?
It's going to pay off. I mean, they originally, obviously, were supposed to be the main kind of, like, buddy pairing, and then they saw the chemistry between Donald and Danny, and then it was like, well, that's undeniable, so we have to go that way. So
Abed comments on Troy and Pierce getting along through mutual adolescence.
This is the inroad to most of my relationships.
Mutual adolescence.
Yeah.
The dean enters. He comments on the diversity of the group. Pierce tells him to beat it, not realizing he's the dean, which he's been there for like a very long time for so for him not to know. The dean brings up football with a terrible segue and asks Troy if he knew Greendale has a football team. He invites Troy to play for the human beings.
The Greendale.
Yes.
They were the Greendale Grizzlies. But
yeah, but a lot of students have been called animals in their
animals their whole lives.
So they can't be the Grizzlies anymore.
Such a beautiful read.
The Greendale human beings. And I am still, much to Jess's chagrin, evaluating the episode as we're going. And one thing that is like sticking in like my mental craw is that, how do you even come up with that idea that like the mascot for your community college sports team is literally going to be the human beings
from the minds of Dan Harmon?
It's just like such a weird, like singularly weird idea.
It's all inclusive.
I guess you're right.
You're not saying anything. I mean, that's right. It's not the widest response to that issue I can imagine. Like, How do we be all inclusive yeah. without actually human saying being. Anything offensive? Let's just yeah. include every We're possible body.
Well, you know, that's what we try to do here. We just include human beings. It's all we see. Human beings. That's it.
Pierce offers his help in image management, icon development, and Y2K preparedness.
And that's not funny because that was some scary shit back then. I gotta be honest. Like, I don't think I'm ready to make jokes about Y2K. I had a whole fan fiction novel that I had written that I had to post on the internet quickly just in case Y2K was going to delete all of my computer software. It was a very anxious time for me back then.
Going to 2 digits to 4, very scary for a lot of us.
It was horrifying.
Annie says that Troy isn't interested in football anymore, and the dean calls her Yoko Ono before saying "bros before hoes."
I can't with Academy Award winner Jim Rash.
That's crazy. Like the you know, that's not something we've talked about a ton, Jess. I feel like it's sort of like the deep level of Jim Rash. Like, and honestly, like,
he's so good. This is I think the episode where they were really like, whoa, we need to include more of the dean because he's so talented.
He's just gonna get better and better,
and he's also gonna get much crazier.
Like everything at this school,
nothing.
Off the rails.
Troy says he's not interested because he finished on top when he was the best in high school, and Jeff asks the dean to leave. Shirley excuses herself to go to the bathroom and invites Britta, but Britta says she doesn't have to go and is very confused as to why Shirley's inviting her. Annie offers to go with her, and they both give Britta a weird look.
This was very funny to watch because I was like, what's happening?
My favorite thing is that this is written by Hillary Winston. And obviously, one of the things that I love so much is that obviously I'm like, oh, a woman wrote this episode.
It's very obvious. Yeah. That's a thing. Like, tell me that you don't know that that's a thing, Josh. That, like,
women I know it's a thing. I know I certainly know it's a thing. So this is not cattywampus or whatever.
When you see things that you're like, I know that this happens in real life with these characters, and you're like, that Britta has no idea that this is a thing.
He's just oblivious.
I think maybe it, like, trauma is the wrong word, but there is like an element. That's a great segue. Completely out of context. Trauma is the wrong word. But because, like, Community gets so weird, and I think a lot of it is because, like, before Community, my big Dan Harmon exposure is Rick and Morty. And so, like, with Rick and Morty, I'm always prepared for something to just, like, explode off the rails. So when Shirley and Annie give Britta the look, I suddenly got very nervous and, like a little bit tense about what that was about and where it was going. And instead, it, like, ends up being, like, this really funny, like, more grounded in reality story that goes on here. But I think, like, with my experience with Community is I'm always, like, a little bit on the edge of my seat because I just, like, don't know. It's an unpredictable show most of the time, or much of the time anyway. Yeah. So I was a little alarmed, like, oh God, why is Shirley so upset with Britta? Oh geez. Like, I was just starting to freak out.
Oh geez, Rick. Yes. Jeff tells her that girls go to the bathroom in groups and asks if she's ever seen a stand-up comedy from the 90s. Britta says she's willing to try more mainstream feminism stuff. And Jeff says nothing says being a woman like sleeping with him, and Britta calls him a pig.
Nothing says pig like you.
Abed comments on the will they won't they sexual tension. Jeff says it makes the group uncomfortable when he comments on them like they're on a TV show. He says he leaned on it pretty hard last week, so he'll lay low for an episode, which he does.
Not like see Abed again for.
We see him eating a banana.
See him once where Britta's like, "Don't worry about him; he's just laying low."
He's eating a banana.
In the background the rest of the way through. Yeah,
brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Nice touch.
It's a really good touch.
And this is like this is the thing about Community that I love is that they comment on the will they won't they. They don't just have the will they won't they, but they actively are like, "We know this is a will they won't they."
So it's
great.
I just love Abed basically being like, "Yeah, I'm gonna take the episode off."
I was commonly featured last week, and I'll actually just take this week off. You got enough to do.
You can only do that with an Abed character who's aware, and it's just so well written. That's a well done bit.
Yeah.
Yes. We're in the hallway. Jeff asks Troy if he's sure he's made the right decision as they're looking at a small trophy in a trophy case. It's the most valued customer for trophy cases. And he asks if they should study more astronomy later over Milky Ways or Mars bars. And Troy says, or pancakes.
Or pancakes.
God, I love Troy.
And this is when Jeff sees a poster with his face on it advertising Greendale.
Well, that can't be good.
Yeah. And so is this, has it already started and I've just, have just like sort of like Swiss cheese brained it? Or is this sort of like the beginning of like the Dean's obsession with Jeff?
This is escalation.
This is the beginning.
Yeah. You'll notice that, like, in future episodes, keep an eye on it. Like, Dean will make any excuse to touch Jeff. Yeah. Like, any excuse at all to touch him.
But this one's walking into the room is an excuse to touch Jeff. Just for clarity. It just walks in, puts his hands on his shoulder almost every time.
Yes. We're back in a.
Jeff is closest to the door too, so
yeah, it's very easy, and he just walks and like sets a hand on his shoulder. You know, that's where it's at. We're back in a random classroom, like a lecture hall. A phone is ringing, but it ends up being the teacher's. Britta says she's going to go to the bathroom and invites Shirley, who happily agrees. The teacher looks for a pen and chastises the students for not bringing a pen to class. And calls the person on the phone an idiot. That whole scene was
that we never see again. But like, want to see more of for some. Like,
yeah, I hope he didn't like her a lot. Yeah.
No, she never comes back.
That's okay. There's a lot of characters to try. That's fine.
We're back in the bathroom. Shirley and Britta enter, and Shirley's talking about a car situation. I had my blinker on for about 5 minutes, and this no good, clearly bald, but trying to hide it with a bandana swooped right in. I couldn't believe it. Britta says maybe he didn't see her. Shirley's reapplying lip gloss and asking Britta about her family. Britta just says whatever, kind of blows Shirley off. Shirley says her mom is coming into town for the weekend. They're going to go get makeovers. Britta makes fun of her, saying they're programmed and talks like a robot. I require a new coat of paint. Shirley is upset. Britta says the number of makeup companies owned by women is zero, and she goes on a rant. Meanwhile, Shirley's like turning on the hand dryer.
I love Shirley so much. That was so good.
But also, isn't that I think that is Hillary Winston in the beginning of that scene, correct? Brushing her face.
She's the writer on the show.
She is the staff writer. She's the writer of this episode too. So she's just the one who's brushing her bangs in the beginning of the episode in the beginning of the bathroom scene.
Yeah, I love this scene between Britta and Shirley because, like, Shirley's trying to do something nice. And then meanwhile, Britta's just, like, not social awareness with, like, what's going on.
And there's a line later on that once we get to it, I'm going to point out because I love the line that Shirley says later on when Britta and her have another confrontation. I'm like, oh,
yes.
Yeah, she's feral in a society. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah. Just a feral cat. That's so good. Yeah. We're back in the dean's office. The dean thanks Pierce for helping design the new mascot. The dean doesn't want a mascot that's just a white guy. The mascot needs to represent the diversity of the school. Jeff enters, pulls the dean aside. Pierce leans back and goes back to drawing what, like, is actually Pierce doing, like, jumping jacks or, you know, some other thing. Jeff says he's flattered and the dean compliments his hair. He touches it and says it's crispy. Crispy hair. Jeff says the faces on the posters are just disembodied heads. He didn't give permission for this, and the dean says it was in the fine print of the registration form.
I see why someone used to be a lawyer.
This is terrifying. This is terrifying.
He actually gives them a high five.
Yes, and he waits for it. I'm gonna hold this till I get it. It was so perfect.
Yeah. Just like the life rights, you never know that you're signing away. It's just, this is a deeply unsettling prospect.
I accept the terms and conditions without reading them.
All the time.
Every device.
I have been bought.
Basically think that my soul is owned by some company.
I think my soul is owned by some companies.
My only hope is they kill each other in their process.
Yeah, I think that they've got like the Josh Wiggler shareholders out there to be a fly on the wall of that boardroom.
Jeff doesn't want someone from the outside to find out that he's a student because it could negatively impact his future career. And the dean is basically blackmailing Jeff into convincing Troy to play football. He says, if you stop, he'd say hammer time.
say hammer time.
We should send them out to local companies, law firms, lawyer companies, legal gatherings.
Are you trying to blackmail me? I think so.
Yeah. Just a nice touch.
And Pierce presents his drawing, which is a falcon with a gun, or it's a falcon with an erection, depending on how you
Joel's
look at
line
it.
Joel's line read of that is just pitch perfect. Like, yeah. The pause and the little music the community has in the background.
Oh, well, a falcon with a firearm is a great tie-in for a reminder that we will have Falcon and the Winter Soldier coverage here on Post Show Recap in just a little while.
Look at that segue.
Look
at that plug.
We've got Mike Bloom and Kevin Mahadeo and Latanya Starks covering the show. It's just going to be a great time. So make sure you're subscribed. PostShowRecaps.com.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
We're back in the cafeteria. Abed walks by eating a banana. He's laying low. Shirley gets up to go to the bathroom. Britta offers to go with her. And Shirley says she's good.
She probably has to go number two. Annie destroys me.
Annie quizzes Troy on astronomy. Jeff interrupts to talk to Troy, and Annie is very annoyed about this.
I love that so much. Like, her face. Her face and Jeff being like, it's okay, I'll bring him back.
Yeah, they talk about this later in the episode. There's like a line from Jeff, which I believe came from actually Joel McHale, where like you'll notice that Allison Brie, like her eyes flutter, but like never fully closed.
It is Joel. Pointed that out, I think, right?
Matt? Yeah. That's Joel. Yeah,
that's an Allison Brie original right there, is the eye flutter. So Jeff interrupts to talk to Troy. He asks Troy if he misses football. Troy says he misses having a coach and knowing what to think. Jess says him and Troy were obviously thinking the same thing. Troy says that the dean looks like Moby.
This will pay off later too, I promise.
This will pay off.
Moby pays off. Frankly, it pays off
right now.
It's going to pay off later too.
I'm being honest, it definitely got me laughing pretty hard.
That dude looks like Moby.
Yeah. And this is when Jeff manipulates Troy into playing football for Greendale. We find them on the football field. They're watching these like really pitiful football players play. He tells Troy that he drives by the courthouse because he misses being a lawyer. He's locked out of his old kingdom, but Troy isn't. And this is where they have this super famous exchange that Jen was talking about. This is like it's really popular. Everybody loves this exchange, and it's so quick. They came up with it like the day of that they were shooting. It wasn't something that was originally in the script. It's
super funny.
And I think it probably is like the standout of the episode. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
What are you saying? Be a lawyer? No, I'm saying you're a football player. It's in your blood.
Yeah. You're a football player. It's in your blood. Right? That's racist. Your soul? That's racist. Your eyes? That's gay. That's homophobic.
That's black.
That's racist.
Damn. Everything really, really about good. That line.
Dan wrote that late in that
Donald Glover just, I can't.
Yeah, it's so good. And Jeff says Annie's a smart girl, but sometimes she's just wrong. He calls Troy T-Bone. Troy asks how he knew that was his nickname, and Jeff says because he's a football player, and your name begins with T.
Your name begins with T.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's just so profound.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Yeah, that's great. We're back to the Shirley and Britta storyline. Shirley's exiting the bathroom to see Britta. Britta says she failed the tryouts for bathroom companion. Shirley doesn't mean to hurt Britta's feelings, and Britta says her feelings weren't hurt. Mm. Shirley says the ladies' room is where women go to share, listen, support one another, and discreetly eliminate waste.
She says something because Britta talks about like, oh, I was just throwing you a bone. And she's like, oh, well, I don't need you to throw me a bone, essentially. And like, I love that Shirley bit. She's like, well, you keep that bone. I don't need that. Like, I don't need your pity. And I'm just like, oh, love it so much.
This is a really good episode for Shirley. Just like really understand who the Shirley character is. Like, she's extremely caring and really wants to help people. But she has like this snark, like this like biting commentary that is so good.
She's not going to put up with anything. She's like, no, like I like you. And I love that, you know, she says, I even like that you're, you know, a little tough. Like, I like that, but I'm not going to put up with your shenanigans, Britta.
Yeah. Understand that the ladies' room is a sacred place. She tells Britta, she's like, you could be tough out here, but you need to be soft in there.
The delivery Gillian Jacobs has of I peed alone my whole life.
Yes.
My whole life.
She says, women have always hated her. And Shirley says, not out here. In there. In there.
So good. Yeah. Shirley was, I think, when we were doing season zero of Community Building and we were hopping around all over the show, Shirley was a standout for me back then as well. And I would say six episodes in, like, short of Abed, probably still my favorite character.
Yeah. She's so, Yvette Nicole Brown is just so pitch perfect. So and Shirley deserves everything. And she doesn't always get the best stories, but this is one of my favorite Shirley stories.
Yeah.
So agreed.
Yeah. Shirley's not one of the most fleshed out characters like later on, which is really disappointing. Like, I think I've said this in the past that I do feel like they sometimes do the women in the show a disservice where then they want to focus more on Abed.
We'd like to hear 3 hours worth of that conversation. Come over to the Community Rewatch podcast. We talk to our friend Yamina and Caitlin Durante from the Bechdel cast. Especially, I mean, our thing is like Shirley's the only black woman on the show. Like, she deserved much more, and she
didn't get it. Yeah, she's a lot one note later on with like religion. It's like religion, kids,
two voices,
marriage.
One note. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah. But yeah, so but
this story is so fun.
This is a really good showing for Shirley.
Well, this is also, I think, like the power of the medium too, is like when an actor is so excellent that like they transcend like being done a disservice by the writing, that like you can really connect with the character because like the performer is just so good.
Yes. Yeah. Like the way she says like that's nice, or the way she says Britta, like that's all Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeff says something later on, hard to break the word no into lilting syllables, and Yvette just delivers a no. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We're back in the cafeteria. Troy walks in calling himself Troy Wonderboy, goes into a politically conservative high school, shamefully outdated fight rap. He's made Annie wait for the past hour. He's blowing her off now, and he goes into another song. Like, these songs,
it's so good.
One of my favorite parts of the episode. Bing, bong, sing along. Your team's Al Gore because your views are wrong. So bad.
So bad.
Annie tells him to stop, and this isn't the real Troy. She says football is bad for him. He says, Jeff said Annie said you would say that.
Allison Brie's delivery of Jeff said what now? You don't mess with Annie is what you learned very early on. So.
Very early on, we know not to mess with Annie. And then Troy leaves the room just going, Troy. His own name.
It's a good way to leave a room. I should think about taking that on.
Josh.
Yeah, that's good. New podcast sign off coming in.
We're back in the dean's office. Pierce and the dean are still trying to make the human being mascot. Jeff enters and is very confused. There are no stereotypical traits.
So am I, by the way.
Yeah.
I just want to make that.
Anyone who enters the room would be
I would like to just pin that right on the record that I, too, am deeply both confused and troubled by what it is they are working on.
Yes, they have ruled out like all stereotypical traits from any race or gender. They have like boards with cutouts. It's very concerning.
Of ears, eyebrows, lips, everything.
Eyes, everything. Yeah.
Creepy.
They have a human color wheel that goes from seal to seal's teeth. Horrifying.
Oh, so bad.
So bad.
Yeah. And the Jeff tells Dean that Troy's playing football. Dean says that Troy has to be at the pep rally. Pierce offers to get Dean a coffee, and the Dean says he wants a Desmond Tutu with just enough cream to make it a Lou Diamond Phillips.
This is not a thing that I'd ever heard.
As you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, but like, here's the weird thing. How much time have the Dean and Pierce spent, and yet they know this? They know each other well enough to do this. They've been together for like a
too long.
It's too long.
Yeah, exactly. They've mind melded at this point. Yeah, there's a degree to which it feels like Pierce's brain is currently occupying the Dean's body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are the two characters. Like, I don't think you want in a room
terrible
together.
I don't know.
No, never. Bad choice.
You just don't want them to get their minds together. Not at all. We're back outside on Greendale's campus. Annie jumps out of a bush to talk to Jeff, totally natural entrance to a scene.
Talking to you? Because I'm not in a commercial for breakfast cereal.
I detect some sarcasm with that, Jess. I often will ambush people from the bush just to start a conversation. Yeah. I feel like this is a fairly normal thing to do, especially in today's society.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, glasses help.
Glasses will help. That's why he wears hats so often.
There
so
you go. Just,
you know, duck
keep
down.
It low. Yes. Yeah.
Annie asks Jeff how much he got paid to make Troy play football. Jeff says he's not in a cereal commercial, so he won't talk to someone who emerged from the bushes. Jeff tells Annie that the dean has photos of him.
That's a really good line. Just took a second to click. I'm just imagining like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch brothers like showing up, like Wendell and his posse. Yeah, that's really kind of how it works.
Or, that's
like,
how it works.
Charm leprechaun.
The tricks are for kids, guys.
They really do always pop out of bushes to give you cereal. Why?
Yeah.
Why strangers stick your head in your window. It's all those commercials are creepy.
Yeah. They're very creepy.
Here, why is no one concerned with this? I don't know if I want to take these from you.
Thank you for the open box or something, stranger.
Yeah. Can I actually have a box
of animal
opened yet?
Fictional, fictional leprechaun.
This is weird. And why are you talking, rabbit?
We're not going to question
it. Where did this cartoon rabbit come from, and why is he approaching children he doesn't know?
It's uncomfortable.
So Jeff tells Annie that Dean has photos of him attending Greendale. Annie calls Jeff the most selfish person alive. Annie says she'll tell Troy, and Jeff says that Annie's in love with Troy, and Annie doesn't care, or Jeff says Annie doesn't care what he wants, just as long as she doesn't have to share him with the world. He says Annie's just as selfish as he is, but isn't as good at it yet. And Annie stomps away upset.
Yeah. Annie's saying, I love that whole exchange because it's very evident very early on that both characters are very like have egos, but they present in very different ways. And so we get to see like actually Jeff and Annie clash a little bit in this one. And the scene, I don't know why I always think of this line, but like right after that where she says, probably because I actually care, Jeff says profound, but technically meaningless. And I don't know why that line always pops into my head.
I made a Jeff out of it. It's a great line,
but I also love that like, she walks away crying and he's like, yeah, don't do that thing where women try and make the guy feel bad by crying. It's not going to work. Yeah. And then he's like, damn it. Like,
yeah.
He actually feels bad.
Yeah. Profound, but technically meaningless describes, I think, a lot of my work.
A really great Annie Jeff, like, poor part of the episode simply because like you're right, like there are a lot of similarities between Jeff and Annie. They're both very self-interested people, but it just shows itself in different ways, right? Like Annie is helping Troy study, which is nice. It's a selfless act, but she's doing it because she wants to be close to him. She has a crush on him, which is inherently selfish.
It's so funny because like Annie is very we will see her very control oriented, and I love Annie. Annie's my favorite character. Matt knows this. Matt's heard me talk about this for 10 years. But like she just presents her ego. She presents herself, you know, self-centeredness very differently than Jeff. And this is like the first instance I think she kind of gets called out on that by Jeff. Yeah. Like, hey, you're just as selfish as I am, but you're not as good at it yet. And she wants to be all high and mighty of like, no, I'm above that. But I love that like they understand that both of them are doing things for selfish reasons.
Yeah. And they're both very manipulative too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And Annie's just very sweet about it. And but it doesn't make it any less.
Yeah. Selfish. She just has these like huge eyes and she just bats her eyelashes and gets her way. And obviously Jeff does things in a very different method, but it the same result, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Same motivation.
Yes. Annie is upset and walks through asking Shirley to join her in the bathroom. Shirley gives Britta a look and Britta joins instead. Annie asks why they inflict so much pain on themselves for men. And Annie's crying. Britta's like says the wrong thing first. And then she kind of corrects herself. Annie says she's infatuated with Troy because she's upset because he will have his pick of the litter and she'll never get to be with him now that he's playing football. Britta says, screw Troy. And if he doesn't pick her, that's him failing her standards. Annie thanks Britta. Shirley witnesses all of it and gives Britta a hug instead of Annie as they celebrate.
That's my girl.
And it makes no sense to Annie at that moment. Annie's like, I love
what
that.
What is happening? And also Britta, I love that Britta is like, I actually helped. Like she's surprised that
she's like, I did it.
Yeah. I'm like so proud of Britta in that moment too, though. I am Shirley being like, you did it, Britta. Because like the truth is like Britta is my favorite, like one of my favorite things about Britta is that she always helps when she doesn't mean to be helping. Like when she tries really hard, that's when she actually doesn't help. And it's at the very beginning where she's trying to be like, I don't know, sweetie. And then when she finally delivers the truth, it's like the thing that actually Annie needed to hear. But yeah, she's and this surprised.
Is, this is just great early Britta because this is the type of Britta that I enjoy where she like, she makes mistakes and, but like, and she stumbles into the right answer. Yep. And she just really is, she really is that like hardcore, like a little bit of a rusty kind of person.
Yeah.
And I just, I like that so much more than like the butt of the joke that she becomes later.
I agree.
Oh my God. It's the Britta bot. Matt has a Britta bot. That's so cute.
That's Annie.
From this one's from Matt.
Get some community action.
Mallory Annie.
We need to. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know
so
which one I would get.
Probably the Shirley. No, the baby. The baby Shirley's creepy.
They don't make the baby Shirley.
They did not make baby Shirley.
Yeah.
They didn't make baby Shirley or Abed.
That's upsetting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why they don't have an Abed. I don't know what the problem with making plaid shirts would be since BritaBot's pretty elaborate. I don't know. You know, I could see possibly a good reason not to make the baby Shirley, but I don't get weird. Not making Ob yet.
I guess I have the season one DVD of Lost, so.
There you go.
There you go.
You have the meaning of Christmas. It's fine.
I've got the meaning of Christmas, so we're good. Set. Yeah.
Yes.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We're back at Greendale campus. Troy is shouting human beings with the football team. Jeff tells Troy not to rejoin the football team. Troy admits that he hurt himself on purpose with his keg flip because a scout was coming to the game and he couldn't take the pressure. He says, I can play football for the fun of it because there's nowhere to go but up. He tells Jeff just to accept where he's at and take a pottery class or something. He does another chant of Greendale, we're number one. Nancy Pelosi is no fun.
What is going on?
They're conservative
high school, shamefully outdated fight song. I love this scene. Like, and I was rewatching it. And I always knew I loved this scene, but like, this is the first kind of instance where you're going to start to see Troy knowing more than Jeff. And like, I love that he tells him like, no, you know what? Like, you need to make peace with where you're at. And Jeff actually seems very surprised by like getting a life lesson delivered from Troy. But Troy's right. He's like, look, life wasn't so great out there. That's why we're here. You should accept being here and just like accept where you're at
with it. Yeah.
And learn how to be okay with it. And because he's like, I can just have fun playing football now. It's not pressure for me. And I love that Jeff is the one who has to like kind of get that talking to from Troy, who we're up until this point primed to think is just like this dumb jock or whatever. But we're going to start to see as the show progresses, Troy really becoming like that voice and that leader. And I love this scene for that like very, very small prime that we get. Also the pottery class mentioned. So
yes.
Does that pay off?
There will be a pottery class.
Is that going to be the name of an episode?
That's going to pay off.
That's not the name of the episode. Not the exact name. It's part of the name of the episode.
Okay. Yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah.
You'll see.
But yeah, no, it's a great
These
scene.
Episode names are really hard to keep up with. They're ridiculous and gets worse.
There's a very simple Thanksgiving theme that connects them all. But other than that,
there's a lot of... There's a lot of brainstorming.
There's at least three finalities references that happen.
Yeah.
So for reasonable reasons.
That was a question that one of our listeners had asked, like Megan Gans, like, how did you guys come up with episode titles? Because she's like, well, originally we tried to make them like the theme of a class, but then at some point you just kind of are like, well,
yeah,
we've run
let's
out.
Make them creative. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they try to be names of classes for a long time. But
Jeff walks outside and sees Annie with a poster that says "Deploy Troy." She's like, "They deploy things in football, right?"
One for rhyme over clarity.
It's a beautiful line.
It's a great line.
She's decided to support Troy. Jeff apologizes. He thinks they both were wrong. Annie says, "Yeah, but she's an 18-year-old girl, and he made her cry in public."
I love that line. I just think that we were both wrong. Yeah, but I'm an 18-year-old girl, and you made me cry in public. Okay, so I was a little more wrong.
Just a touch.
It's one of the few times she actually looks close to 18.
Her hair still has a very juvenile look.
Yeah, she's 27 at this point. So getting her to look younger, they do a pretty good job early in the season, but it's gone by season three.
The outfits and the hair is really what does it. She's wearing those like the skirts and the sweaters constantly.
Yeah.
He says he should grow up and make peace with being here, like what Troy says.
Yeah. It's not like Greendale's going to kill him or anything.
Yeah. And then the human being mascot walks in.
And so then very quickly, Community becomes American Horror Story. As this Ryan Murphy monster approaches.
Well, like, and he's horrifying. Like, yelp. I'm like, ah! Like,
and when was American Horror Story? Let's just put this in historical context. American Horror Story is going to be 2011 when
it's going to be
So this is 2009. This is October
because Ryan Murphy's still doing Glee.
This predates Rubber Man, and this is Rubber Man. Like this is like a jersey cloth wearing Rubber Man from American Horror. Like this is a nightmare.
It's awful. Yep.
It's a nightmare. I guess Ryan Murphy had like a serial killer on Nip Tuck. I think if I'm not mistaken, that has this same energy. And I wonder how much that's an inspiration because it feels very like Ryan Murphy horror. And I know that Community gets a good hate in on Glee. So how much they're subverting that already. Or
even on the commentary this week, they were like, okay, now go watch Glee at the end of it.
They were right in the same, weren't they? Didn't they shoot near Glee because Glee got so many Emmys and that's how the infamous zero Emmy nominations.
They come out in the same year. They shoot really close to each other and Glee is got ratings and Emmy nominations.
And then they have the zero Emmy nominations banner because of Glee's banner that had been on their set. They put one up on Community's set.
The human being looks like a jogger who was out for a run at night in Gotham City and ran across the Joker. Like, it's a terrifying monster.
Possibly Scarecrow. Spray yeah, properly so scare, they would
bro. Like there's like some yeah. big why so serious energy. Forget Y2K. Jeez, it's horrifying. It's so funny. This killed me. And of course I've seen the picture before, but like with zero context. And so I don't know why it did not connect for me that like this was the human
being.
This is the human being. Wow. Great job, everyone. You did it. Take a bow.
He can't see. He can't move his mouth. He can't even hear. Yeah. Dean and Pierce bring him inside. And as they do so, they say, "We solved racism. What's next?
What's
it? We did it. That's horrible."
I think Ariel had left this comment as well that like I expected it to be Abed underneath the mask. Like I thought that Abed was going to be the human being.
Look like his body shape though.
That's what I was saying is like I thought that like he had like sort of like the head tilt. I could imagine that being Abed underneath, but we don't know who the actor is underneath.
Remember, but it is an extra. Yeah. It's not Danny Pudi.
Yeah, that and
extra
I do believe
incredible because that extra is being very extra.
I do believe in the commentary they had said that like at one point we see the human being again, but it's somebody else. Like he's shaped very differently, and I think it was Alison Brie who was like, no, bring back in the original guy. Like he is the human being. Yeah.
Like tall, thin, creepy.
Yeah,
horrifying.
Yes. And Jeff invites Annie inside with their typical m'lady, m'lord.
Yeah. Not typical.
This is only the second time that it'll happen.
This is the second time, but it is recurring. It'll happen again.
Yes. And it's a very, like, I love that, like, this has the potential to be a uniquely Greendale experience. So they, like, walk in.
No, what is that, a Greendale pep rally, honestly? Like,
we don't get to find out.
Something wild.
You never find out.
Not in the budget.
Nope.
No, you're going to find out a lot more about Greendale's like sports and everything in a couple episodes. So don't you worry.
All right, cool.
You'll get your time in the gymnasium.
You'll get to be in the gym.
Well, I did see the pool. So, you
know. Well, yes.
That's
the
pool.
Olympic size pool.
Yes. And we're at the end credits here. Abed and Troy are giving announcements. Announcement one is announcements will be cool starting now. Two. Butt soup. Three, I'm not Haji from Johnny Quest. Jeff Winger. Yeah. Four, you've got to start locking the security desk. And then there are men who enter who kind of like are the same race, the same, you know, whatever of Abed and Troy. And they do the whole like hand motions like to
There's
see
the
if
the insinuation of doppelgangers, right?
They'll, yes. They'll return, right? Correct?
Yes.
I think they at least return in another season as well. So
At least one more time. That pair this, does.
In my head canon is the introduction of the multiverse to the community. Knowing more about the chaos theory. I'd like to imagine that this is like an early.
Well, you know, it's the Russos, so all bets are off.
Exactly. Like, so this is like the beginning of the multiverse of madness here in the community.
That's fair. Yes. So what do we think about this end credits scene?
I give it a Streets Ahead because
I did as well.
It's just like it's such a funny sight gag.
Yeah.
The raising of the hand, like
it's a half joke. I mean, a bunch of these end scenes are the half the joke where you get to figure out the rest of it for yourself. And so this is a perfect one of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like the Streets Ahead across the board for that end scene.
I think so. I'm glad that we talked it through so thoroughly because I revisiting some of those moments and like because Community happens very fast. I think that I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but since just crushed the episode. You know, for me, since this is like my first time through, and I imagine this might be a similar experience for a lot of people who are watching it for the first time, especially people who are binging it. It may be even more profound, if technically meaningless, than doing it weekly, is that things like that go so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the stopping down and processing of like joke, like even like the Jeff and Troy back and forth on the football field. Really, and like even the line, like, I'm not going to take your cereal. Like, there's. There's a lot in here. This is, I think, Matt, to your point of like, just like jokes per minute. Like, I think that this is a much better episode.
Well, you go back and watch when Troy throws the football and they turn around, the guy that ran fell face down and doesn't get back up.
Yeah.
And somebody else comes by and picks the ball up and Jeff turns and says, he caught it. Every little background bit is there and it's one of the best little rewatch episodes that exists because it has all of those pieces.
Yeah, there's going to be payoff for like this one. I always like love the sight gag of the trophy case, but that's going to pay off later on. Like there's going to be it's going to return.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many different things like that are built in this episode. And I love all of the dynamics between the characters. It's just so fun because they're all so funny together and it's fun to see them paired up differently. Yeah. And I think the show was just because like in a couple of episodes, there will be Debate 109, which also does another similar thing of like, it's such a great episode,
great
just pairing different people together and
about
characters.
That one too.
It's a great one. Yeah. But it's trying out different pairings and dynamics and seeing what's funny and what's dramatic and what like you can kind of mine from. And this is, you know.
Yeah, Debate 109 is going to take this kind of structure where everybody's got something to do and it's going to build on it. And so this one helps you really enjoy that one. But I stand by this. This one, just like Debate 109, is one of the most rewatchable ones from season one you have because there's so much going on in every scene that you can come back and get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jess, how about some F community feedback?
Yes. We heard from the great essayist Riley. He said, and this is a point that Jen brought up earlier, this episode really showcased the future of Troy so well. We see the early hints of Troy that is the heart of the group. and a better leader than Jeff. The scene near the end, when Troy gets to say that he's learned to be happy with where his life is, he can enjoy his life in the place where it currently is very touching to me and shows the wisdom that hides beneath the hilarity of Troy and the seeds in the beginning arc that will take Troy to being the heart and the center of the group.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes
exactly
sense. Yeah, yeah, it tracks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Jank, on the other hand, Jank is one of the only ones who's not a fan of this episode. Yeah. He says he doesn't love this episode. It's just below passable. The only storyline I liked was the Britta bathroom story. It was both humor and character moments. Troy's football journey isn't interesting to me, besides the football team never being mentioned again. It just doesn't fit his character that well. A stutter in his early character development as they were figuring it out. The human being is a great running gag, but the conception here was very meh.
I don't know. The human being really worked for me.
Yeah.
It just really, it really sent me, as the kids say.
The thing I like is that this is one of the stories, which we talked about before, of like Pierce being likable and having like him and the Dean have something to do. And like, again, in Debate 109, like Pierce is going to be likable, like again, in that episode for me. So this was like one of those few early stretches of episodes where I was like, you know, Pierce is actually funny, like, and you know, I enjoy him, so I liked his whole hand in crafting the Green Tail. Yes. We all have Pierce to thank and Dean Pelton for that mascot.
Believe me,
think about that every time you see
I don't
it.
Think You're the like, word Pierce. Is thank, but yes,
blank is a word.
Blank, thank is a word.
Blank is a choice.
More accurate one. Thank is a choice.
Pierce will benefit in my meow meow beans.
The wisecrack being has feedback. Britta is a good balance of jaded but likable and not horribly dumb in this episode. Dean and Pierce are such an odd couple, but it works wonders here with the inception of the human being mascot. Wish we saw that combo more often. I agree. We don't get a lot of Pierce and the Dean, really.
I can't really even think of another story.
No, there's yeah. not, them, right?
Not like
there's
a whole storyline.
No.
Yeah.
This may be, yeah.
This
well,
may be
it's,
it. Sort of.
Ultimately, this is just, you know, Pierce becomes the villain over time at times. And so that becomes part of it. It doesn't really work well if somebody's just really sets up scenes often. Just what the Dean does is set up the next event.
Yeah.
So I agree. They work really well together, or the product ended up being good. I miss seeing more of that. But yeah, no, they were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do agree, like, Britta in this episode, to me, is, like, very... It's a great Britta. Like, this is the Britta that I enjoy the most. She's not stupid, but she is favorite a little bit Britta. Jaded and, yeah, and just doesn't really understand, like, the social cues from the women around her. I appreciate that a lot. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric Divestine says, did you notice Abed not having a single line between the cold open when he said he would lie low in the end tag? The production code for this episode is 103, while Intro to Film is 102. So I think this episode was initially intended to air the week after Intro to Film, which would make Abed's line about leaning on his shtick too much last week make more sense.
Well, I was thinking about that in terms of last week.
Yeah.
I don't remember Abed going like, I don't know. I mean, he had some moments last week. Yeah.
It's not a lot. This is the Troy episode. I know we talked about how like the first six or seven episodes is supposed to be each character gets their moment in the sun. And this is Troy's. Yeah. This is intended to be Troy's episode. I mean, obviously we also have like the Britta Shirley storyline as well.
And there's more Annie in this one.
There's
more Annie in this one too.
I still feel like, and I know Jen, you said like you think this is kind of like a big good job doing character beats for each character. I still feel like we're not like 100% there with Annie, but to me we're like 90% of the way there. Like you see the subtle manipulation, the way she uses like kind of the, again, like her giant eyes, and you know, she's very cute, but I just feel like, to me, the Troy Annie thing never really hit. I mean, I get it, right? Like, you're in high school, it's like your high school crush. You're now in college where you're hanging out with this guy that you idolized and got in high school. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But it to just, me, it was never...
It never worked to me. It was really funny because I was like, a friend of mine was binging Community for the first time in 2020. And she's like texting me and another friend like, oh, I think I'm really into like the Troy and Annie thing. And I was like... I'm not going to spoil it. No, I'm not going to say
so
anything.
Sorry for you.
Well, I didn't tell her she was wrong. And the thing is like, we're trying not to give spoilers, right? We're trying not to be like, hey, so
watch out for this.
Maybe you're not going to have the best time with this ride.
Right.
But, you know, it is weird, like, when you go back and watch those early episodes, because you're like, that just feels like a totally different version of her and Troy, yeah. like, in so many ways. Like, we're going to see them start to develop a lot more. Like, Troy breaks out beyond this caricature of, like, this jock, even, like, when he was being super self-centered in the, you know, doing his fight rap or whatever. That's mm-hmm. a very different version of Troy than you are going to start to see, where Troy gets the you know, permission to be silly and to be nerdy. And that's very, like, a different version of him. So I like this. I think the culmination of, like, Annie's beginning character development will start to come into Bait 109. Like, I think this is a nice
100%.
This is a nice like beginning to, like, understand exactly, like, how she isn't always, like, the Disney princess, like, victim. Mm-hmm. She can and she does manipulate people, even if she does it for a good reason, and it's not for Jeff, who's just like, I just don't want people to find out that I'm at Greendale. For Annie, it's like, well, I want to hang out with Troy and make and force him to like me. And she says something about the control, about, like, oh, if I really liked him, I wouldn't want to control him. And that's a very important part of Annie's character. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to start to see a little bit more in Debate 109, and it starts to unfold. But I think that this is, like, one of the earliest instances that you can point to and say, like, Annie is not the perfect angel on your shoulder kind of thing. Like, she's a lot more complex than that. And the show's going to tell you, like, she has the potential to be just as selfish as Jeff is, even though you think she's adorable, and how could she be bad or do bad things? The show is like, well, here's how.
She can. She's got a really, you know, despite the mistakes she makes in high school, she's got a really high opinion of herself and mm-hmm. her abilities. And that means that she's when she ends up being attracted to people, with the exception mm-hmm. of a character to be named later, it's the exceptional people that she's attracted to. So it's mm-hmm. it's people like Jeff, and it's people like Troy, who are mm-hmm. outstanding. Mm-hmm. That's the type of person she wants to be around, is other outstanding people, because she knows she's outstanding.
Yeah.
So I think that feeds a lot of it. But no, you're right. I think we needed this beat to prepare us for later episodes about who she is.
Yeah.
And the Troy dynamic, you know, thankfully, for the most part, dies off completely.
Yeah.
Not long after Christmas. And that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just weird. It was always weird to me. It was like, it never quite, like, it makes sense because of their characters. Like, the and history, it's a reminder that, like, these are the two characters who knew each other before this show started that we're watching. But it just feels weird because they turn into such different characters that, like, there's, you know, in a normal, you know, show, sitcom, they'd be like, but, you know, Jeff and Britta are the will they won't they, and Troy and Andy are like, oh, but we're the friends who, like, you know, I was awkward and I was the popular one. And I think that they realized, thankfully, that, like, they didn't have to do that because it wasn't clicking the way that it could have. And so, thankfully, it does kind of just fade.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we got to talk Meow Meow Beans. This is a good segue into the Meow Meow Beans, which, of course, I still do not know what a Meow Meow Bean is.
To be fair, I haven't rewatched that episode in a very long time, so I know, but, like, I'm also like, oh, I don't remember the specific beats of that episode.
Nothing. I have no idea. No clue.
I'm saying it. It will be a very long time until you do.
I am to understand that this is the case. I would be surprised if
we'll
it's
see
not
you again in 2022.
At some point, but we'll see. We'll see. But so far, I don't know. No idea what.
No, 2023 maybe. I don't know. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll get there with bells on. With a bagel for Chang to kick things off. Probably for all
he's
of just, us. I think just by
he's not there. In here.
He's a bagel.
He's not here. He's not he's here. Not all here. Right. So I have, Jess, I've taken care of business here. Okay?
I have seen this.
Yes, I've taken care of
very
business.
Very exciting.
I've set my Meow Meow Beans. I feel good about this. So I think that of the main characters, excepting Chang because he's absent, of the main characters, I think just by default, because he's in one scene really and then in the background of another, Abed has to be at bottom.
Yeah.
But because that is such a, I think, a really brilliant use of Abed, like, to have him comment on how, like, I'll take this week off. And then to just have him, you know, in the background with a banana and everything. Like, I feel like that's such a smart utilization of the character that automatically sets us at a level as far as my Meow Meow Beans are concerned. So I have Abed at a 3 because I think that's such a funny use of the character. So okay. Everybody's got to go higher. So we're flush with Meow Meow Beans to a certain degree this week. So I have Jeff, Britta, Troy, and Annie all at the same level. I think they're all great this week. I think they're all really, really fun. I think everybody has a really good storyline this week and a lot of really funny jokes. I gave them all 3.5. But I had 2 that I needed to push past to next level status. I don't know if it's for the first time, but Pierce is cracking a 4 for me. And that is because of the role he plays as the co-creator of the human being.
This is the first time you've given him a 3.5 before. Mm-hmm. That's the highest he's gone.
I have to give Pierce like a leg up over most of the rest because he is the co-creator of this insane horror creature. I watched this episode like 4 days ago and I have not stopped thinking about it. So credit where it's due, I gotta give it to Pierce. And if Dean was Meow Meow Beanable, I would be doing the same thing for Dean. Alas, the 4 goes to Pierce, and then Shirley will be right at the top. I just think this is a great Yvette Nicole Brown episode, mm-hmm. and I think that Shirley is incredible, so I'll give her 4.5. I really loved her this week. Them's my Meow Meow Beans.
Jen, you can go next if you want.
Okay, I mean, let's be real. It's really hard for me to rank things and people and Meow Meow Beans, so I'm doing half points and might rethink some of these, but I gave Jeff and Annie highest Meow Meow Beans marks at 5 because I like that both of them, especially that Jeff is actually grows in this episode, I think deserves a little bit of a higher up. Like he rethinks some of his life choices and that Annie gets both put in her place and also learns some lessons. So I think that, you know, in terms of that, and also they just have some very funny dialogue in this episode. Abed is like a 2 because he's like not really there. And the little bit that he is there, he gets 2 Meow Meow Beans for the bit that he is there. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to give Troy a 4 and Shirley a 4 because I just think that they are really good. I think Troy does learn a little bit, but like he was already there. Like he has that line at the very end of the episode where he tells Jeff to, you know, accept where he is. And like Troy's already hit that point. So like he doesn't have to learn that lesson. So he's good. And Shirley is just solid. Britta gets a little bit higher because she like conquers her fears of like being in the bathroom and talking with girls. And I love that. So she gets a 4.5. And then Pierce gets a 3.5. I mean, he's funny, but like he's not quite still at the level that the other characters are because he really doesn't like grow. He just is funny and has some funny moments and contributes to the horror that is the human being. So.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. I gave Jeff a 5, mostly because he's the one who's doing the evolving in this, responding to the people. And he's got some just great lines in this episode. I gave Britta a 4, even though I loved her in this. I love Shirley more, but I ended up putting both at, I put Shirley at a 5. So I gave Britta a 4 because they spent so much time together. Abed's a 2. It would have been you're right. If he hadn't had that perfect little setup line, it had to be a bagel, but he's got that setup line. I won't be here because I'm making a television reference.
Cracked me up.
So perfect. I gave Troy a 4 because every time I thought about the characters, I was kind of comparing them for the Meow Meow Beans because that's Meow Meow Beans is about comparison to some degree. And so I thought it would make sense to give Jeff the 5 and Troy the 4. Pierce just as 3 because he's just being Pierce, but he wasn't the bad Pierce. He was the good Pierce making something horrible. And then Shirley got the 5. And I gave Annie the 5 because Allison Brie has proven over and over that she can look attracted to fruit and vegetables in her home or in anybody else. And she plays this so well. Every time the camera's on her, she doesn't have to say anything. You know exactly what she's thinking. You thought of the Disney thing the moment you saw her. It's that ability to get something out of a script without the words. She does it all the time. And I thought she did an excellent job with this one. So I gave Annie a 5, and of course, Chang with a bagel.
Yeah. Yeah. I had similar thoughts. So I have at the top of mine, I'll go top to bottom. Top of mine is Shirley. Shirley killed me in this episode. I thought she was so funny. I love the early incarnation of Shirley. I think this is the character. This is who Shirley is. A great showing from her. Britta out of 4. Again, I love early season one Britta. I love her growth in this episode. And she really wants to be like accepted and loved. And she's trying. She's trying really hard. So I gave her a 4. I gave Troy a 3.5. I loved his scene with Jeff at the end. He has some really funny lines. Not to me, it's like I didn't give him full marks. Just we're not quite there with Troy yet. Like this is still very early on. He's not quite who he becomes. So I gave him a 3.5. I gave Annie and Jeff both 3s. Jeff, he's fine. He's there. He's a little bit above average to me. Annie, again, I could have given Annie higher marks. I'm doing my best here to not give her 5s every episode. I love this version of Annie. The reason I marked her down 2 points is because of the Troy stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite version of Annie, but I do think, Jen, you're right. Like this is beginning. We're starting to see through the veil of the Disney eyes, you know, mm-hmm. like this is who Annie's going to become. So I gave her a 3. Abed, I gave a 2.5. Again, I gave him half points, half credit. He's there. He has a funny line. So he gets 2.5 because it's a good line. I'm the lowest on Pierce here. I gave him a 2.5. Reason being, I think that it's fine what he does. He's funny and it's funny what he does with the Dean, but I give more of the credit to the Dean in those cases. Like the lines that I was laughing at in those scenes between the two of them were usually the Dean lines. So I do think that like I would lean more towards giving Dean the credit than Pierce the credit. And Chang, obviously with the bagel, not even around.
Yeah.
So we actually have, going back to our character rankings overall, no movement this week. Everybody is locked into the same spots they were in last week, which is Chang at the bottom, Pierce, Annie, Shirley, Jeff, Britta, Troy, and Abed, number 1. Now, the thing is that's interesting here.
Chang is like streets behind.
Oh, he's very behind. He has less than half of the points that Pierce has, the spot above him. But Abed is actually, Troy is getting up there. Troy has 63 points and Abed has 64. So it's a tight race at the top now, mm-hmm. which it didn't used to be. So very interesting movement there.
Let's talk about the Dean's List. This is the point that we give for a guest star in this episode. I think the options are relatively limited, but they're also, the options are beautiful. The options are wonderful. I think you can go one of two ways. For me, I have to go the Greendale human being. I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. The Greendale human being is on the Dean's List.
And if he could say words, he would say thank you, but he clearly cannot pronounce words.
Look, I have to go with the Greendale human being too. But also that teacher, like, let's be real, that teacher is literally just there and she's like, why does no one have a pen? And I'm just like,
that teacher was great.
She's taking a call in the middle of class. Like, this is just quintessential Greendale. Like, she's chastising her class.
I told you to shut off your phones. Yes. It's her phone. Ringing.
It's her phone, and she's like,
she's
oh,
talking
hi.
On and it, and then she looks for a pin, and she doesn't have one in her
Britta
own.
Britta and Shirley just like leave class because no one's even paying attention.
Yeah, you're so good.
Yeah, funny. That's the only time we see her, but I'm like, you're the teacher that everyone at Greendale is modeling themselves after.
So funny. Yeah. So good.
I give my point to the Dean. I think, like, really good, strong showing for the Dean. He's the Dean at his deaniest. I love him trying to blackmail Jeff and, like, not being very good at it and having, like, you can only really say, like, there's a lawyer's office, like, law office. That's it. Yeah. And then he keeps going. Legal gatherings.
Yeah.
Good. I had to give my point to Dean.
Mine for the Dean too. That up high that he will not let go of until he gets it. That was just pitch perfect.
Yeah. So we still have the Dean at the top with 7 points. I just don't see anybody eclipsing him anytime soon. But we also haven't seen a ton of like Leonard and Starburns and those types of, and you know, Garrett. We haven't seen too much of yet. So we'll wait.
Dean is going to be at the top of his own list by the end of the season.
But that's fine.
I have no doubt about this.
But you see the problem with, like, if we had included him in the Meow Meow Beans, like, he's not in every episode. Yeah. It is kind of like Chang, even though Chang is...
The technicality is the series regular stuff.
Yeah. Right. You
know? That matters. This matters.
It does. We have rules this here, guys.
This is yeah.
There are rules for this
serious
pod.
Business.
There are rules. Structure fun.
This is where
much like a real college would. Yes.
Yeah.
This is actually
like a real
school.
Podcast would. Yeah. We have rules.
We do. In addition to rules, we also have cools. We rate every episode on a scale of 0 to 4 cools. The cool coolant system. And this is an episode that rose in my estimation over the course of a conversation.
I was just going to say, you freaking changed it, Joshua.
Jess, I do this all the time.
I know you do it. And I'm always going to give you crap for it.
I have been doing this for years. I changed the data in the spreadsheets. I make sure that everything is okay. We're going to be all right here. You're going to be fine.
See, this is where my Annie comes out. And it's like, it's not okay.
No.
We're going to make it. This is just going to be a thing and it's going to be all right. And it is for the better of the episode. I've given it a 3. I'm giving it cool. I think that there were a lot more jokes in here than I gave it credit for that were that landed with authority. And then the human being probably tips it past where I could have landed with like a 2.9. I think the human being, just like the first sight of the human being for me, just escalates this into the 3 category.
Okay.
So it's a flat 3 cools from me.
Yes, I gave it just under that. I gave it a 2.9. I also tend to look at these compared to the other episodes that I have rated. And so while I don't think it's as good as Intro to Film and Social Psychology, I did like it more than like the pilot, for instance, which I had it at a 2.8. I didn't think it was quite at the 3 level for me, just because I love the Shirley Britta storyline. I don't as much care about Troy playing football. And so that's why it knocks it down just a little bit, but still it's a very good episode of Community. What about you, Jen?
I would like to note that Matt and I did not pick numbers on this spreadsheet.
I just assumed what these numbers were, but you can correct me if I am incorrect. So,
I mean, honestly, my answer was Jake Peralta level cools. So that's all the cools that you can get.
The 4 cools.
Cool. The 4 cools.
I was just going to say that I said all the cools because it's 4 is the number, and then 4 is the number.
Technically, no, you said all the available
cools. All the available
cools. Every available cool.
I think this is part of what I said earlier, is that this is one of the better rewatch episodes. When you come back and watch it, like, I still laughed at something I laughed at years ago when I rewatched it, the 3 times I rewatched it this week.
I laughed at it too.
I just love these jokes. I love these characters. And I think part of what influences Jen and I is that we have seen this over and over. I mean, I know this is one of Jen's favorite episodes. Yeah. This is her hook episode.
Yeah.
So that influence on us, I think that's going to happen to everybody else that watches it. The more you watch, the more you go,
yeah.
That I mean, this cracks like some of my top favorite list of all time for Community. Like, it's not up there with like some of the other things that are to come, but there are quite a few episodes in season 1, including Debate 109 and this one, that like crack some of my like top 15, top 20 because of how well they do character development, which is something that I'm a little critical of because the show sometimes loses later on in favor of an homage. Like, they don't get these deep delves like you do in season 1. And this is like one of the ones where I come back to because it's just like a great character study and you can really track the growth from here until the end of the season.
Yeah.
And it's just so rewatch. Like, it really is one of the ones that I pick out in season 1 where I just rewatch. Whereas like anything up until this point, I really don't rewatch the first like 6 because I didn't necessarily care for them. And there's a few that I rewatch in the middle, but like this is the one where I'm like, everyone is firing on all cylinders as actors. They're funny. The writing's tight. I'm always also more prone to like, not that I don't appreciate the male writers of the show, but I love the female writers. There was a lot in season 1 and 2. And so I always gravitate a little bit more toward things that like Hillary Winston, Megan Gans, like they, Emily Cutler, write. And so that's probably Carrie, what makes this there was very,
The first 2 seasons are much more heavily female-driven writers, and it tells. I just like that this show can do everything. I mean, if they want to do a character-driven episode, they can flat do it. This is a perfect sign of it. If they want to take you on a magical tour of a foreign Christmas planet, they can do that too. Mm-hmm. So I just love that it's got that kind of range. And this is the thing, Dan never really wanted to do this traditional format. So he runs away from this later.
Yeah.
They don't do a lot of it, but this was never, Dan's goal was never to give you a traditional TV show.
Right.
Yeah. It was always meant to break it.
I think too, like, that's what's nice about community building is, like, Josh, I showed you a lot of like genre based episodes because those are the heavy hitters. Like, those are the ones people remember, and specifically because I thought you would really like them.
Yeah.
Totally. But we're going to have so many like little like sweet hidden gems that are more character based. And it's hard to show you those kind of in a vacuum because you don't know and love the characters yet.
Yeah.
So here you're going to get to experience just like these lovable characters in these like super heavy character episodes. And I think you're just going to love it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I have so much nostalgia sometimes for season one that I just go back and rewatch. Like, Chelsea and I talk about this a lot. A lot of her favorite episodes, like, there's going to be one coming up called The Politics of Human Sexuality. Like, that's one of our favorites. There's Debate 109. There's this one. There's Romantic Expressionism. Like, there's so many gems that are just like, they're exemplary for this kind of format of like a, you know, study group at a community college studying Spanish, but like who are funny. And there's so many things that like, I kind of sometimes go back and I'm like, oh, I miss when they were just studying Spanish, you know, like sometimes it's just like, I just want to go back to that time. And even though there's so much genius stuff, like this is that episode that I'm like, I go back to so much if I just need a laugh because it is so great and so funny.
Yeah. Well, I think the enthusiasm for the episode was contagious. So I'm really appreciative of the chance to pick both your brains about this one because it definitely it was very beneficial for my viewing of the episode. Just like stopping down on some of those lines, like, oh wait, that's actually genius.
You honestly, like, I rewatched the episode usually two times normally, and then one time, well, once to make the notes, once just for a refresher day of, and once for commentary. And like watching it that many times
is like kind of my rewatch, right? Like, because like I really can only watch the episode the one time.
And here's the thing, I take this upon my own self way. I'm not recommending people do this, but that's the way I have to consume it in order to have like what I feel like is a good idea on how I feel about the episode. And I think when you do rewatch it that many times, and when I'm making my notes, especially, you catch these hilarious jokes. Like, I watch it with the closed captioning on, so I don't miss anything. The Nancy Pelosi joke, I didn't hear that at all when I've ever watched it. So seeing that I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Like,
yeah, for sure.
So the audience, we didn't say the audience where they fell. They have a 2.72. That, you know, some people liked it. Some people thought it was okay. The lowest score I got was a 1.75. The highest was a 3.7. And so this puts at a current average of 3.16, which is third currently in our six episodes that we've watched. It's squarely in the middle.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's still you know, fairly highly rated, 3.16
out of four. Absolutely.
I think for me, like, my version of rewatching Community then is like coming on here and talking to people about the episode. And like, I think because, and I've said this throughout, you know, the first version of the podcast, and if I don't say it enough now, I'll say it today, is that like the biggest joy of experiencing Community for the first time all these years later is experiencing the community. Like, that's like of all shapes and sizes. That's like Jen and Matt, like deep cuts, or, you know, we've had people on here who, have seen, less Community than me, shout out to Asia, you know, like we've had like, you know, we've run the gamut. And so like, it's really fascinating to me to like experience, a community around a show, which happens to be named Community.
It's like, really hard to Google.
Honestly, yes.
Not very annoying. I get that. You know, Lost is a hard one to search for.
No, that doesn't make it easier.
You know?
Yeah.
But like, I think like that has been a big piece of it. So like, I often look forward to the podcast more than an episode, if that makes sense. Like, I often look to like, talking through the episode and hearing people's takes on the episode and hearing people's takes on the characters more than I do like actually watching the show. Like, this is like, that's like 50% of it. And then this is the other 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So like an experience with an episode for me isn't complete until this part is done. So like, maybe that's part just why I'm going to drive you nuts with the rankings and stuff. It's like, I need to talk it through.
I know. You know. No, it's fine. It really, it truly is fine. It's just, I'm the Annie. Like, I'm the type A. Like, I need to be prepared before I come on. I love to have all my ducks in a row, but it's fine. Honestly, I will get over it eventually, but I will always bug you about it. It's okay.
That's okay. That's all right. That's okay.
You're right about the fandom, though, and the people in it. It is the best. I try to remind, fans from the Twitter account that you get to be your own version and you should support everybody else doing that same thing. That's really, that already accepted language is in season one. And so it's this great thing about having new fans and having old fans and how they just interact with it. It's a blast. And you're right. It is a ton of fun to talk to people about episodes. I've got to be on Jen's podcast a couple of times. I've been on some of the others and it's fun to have just a rambling conversation about something just so unique. And it's an absolute joy
for a discussion.
Yeah. And there really is something for everybody, right? Like everybody has a different favorite character or a different favorite episode. And obviously we know like Remedial Chaos Theory is touted as like the best episode ever of Community. But if you're looking outside of the genre based episodes, maybe people's like character based episodes, like there could be a ton of different options for your favorite. So I think like having that in a show is always going to be great for the community itself.
Yeah. Absolutely. If we all had only one episode, this they shouldn't have done 110. I mean, really, if it's only Modern Warfare, you don't need the other 109.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Remedial, Modern Warfare, Virtual System for some, the finale. Good luck when you get there. There's a lot of great. I watched that episode every day for a month after it dropped, and I cried
to yourself
every
day for
just
one month.
For a month straight.
I just missed them.
The I cry every time.
Lord Huron popped on. I was like, back to start. Yeah.
Do.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't.
I don't expect
don't do
to.
That.
No, right. I don't. Yeah,
but
no,
I also, you will not have that kind of free time.
But Matt, I also research. Don't know who I will be when we get there. Right?
That's true.
What?
You may be a human being with magic markers for eyes.
I hope I am still a human being, if not the human being.
Have to paint a smile on your face.
Oh God, Tara. All right. Well, Jess, how about we paint some smiles on faces by announcing the guest for next week's podcast.
Yes, next week we're going back to intro to statistics. I hate intro to stats.
I've
Let's
seen
just do
this
that.
One.
Yeah,
you have seen this one. So it's a repeat of the Halloween episode, season one, episode 7. We do have a special guest on. This is a fun one. I'm very excited. Josh better not veto this because we're having on Shut Up Tim.
Yes. Okay. And so Matt and Jen, Shut Up Tim is a beloved, and I think he would embrace this wholeheartedly, a beloved troll in our community.
He would. He's a Shrek obsessed.
Number one Shrek fan. Oh, Shut up, Tim,
right.
who embraces his name is Shut Up Tim. That tells you everything. and I love Tim so much. So this is going to be really, really, really funny. Is Jess, do you know, is Tim like a really big community fan?
I assume so because he asked me to come on. So okay, I assume if someone's asking me to come on, that they're a huge fan. I mean, I think he's a pretty big fan of Community. Yeah. I'd be shocked if he hasn't seen all of it.
To our detriment that we didn't vet this properly.
Listen, I like it better that way. I know I'm like type A, but I kind of embrace the chaos sometimes.
Yeah, I'm good. So. I'm good with it.
So you may change it. Name to mute too. Tim. Maybe that'll be his new name after a podcast episode.
I suggested Be Quiet Timothy.
He was Shrek Up Tim for a while.
Shrek Up Tim for a while, but he will be a Statistic Tim next week as we talk Halloween, which he wanted to talk about this one specifically, Jess.
I think I asked him, like, this is what I have, and I think he chose it. Yeah. Okay. I try to get people on for episodes that they're interested in covering. I don't necessarily want to like slot one in if you know,
fair
people
enough.
Have interest.
Fair enough. All right, so that's next week. Jen and Matt, What a pleasure. We would love to. We keep saying this because all of our guests have been incredible, but we'd love to have you back.
Every season's going to be a repeat of the season before it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's incredible.
Always happy. I already said Jess is coming on to our show. Yes. Very excited. Absolutely. So
it's an Annie-centric episode.
Of course. Of course. Why don't you one last time plug what it is you're working on, where people can find you online, both in terms of your projects, but also like Twitter shout outs, everything like that. Matt, we'll start with you.
The only one that matters is communities. With the two S's at the end, it's where we try to connect everything related to the fandom in one place. That's why I'm on Twitter way too much for someone my age. That's the only one that matters. It's the most important. It's the oldest of the fan accounts. And I'm blessed to be able to do it and be connected to all of y'all. So yes. That's awesome. Communities.
Yes. I love, a great decision I made was following this account.
Yeah.
Watching all the incredible things that people are working on here. Mm-hmm. Jen, how about you?
Well, you can follow our podcast on Twitter. We are at COMM Rewatch Pod. We're also on Instagram, and over there we are at Community Rewatch. And then you can listen to our podcast wherever it is you get podcasts these days. Because
how far into the rewatch are you right now?
We are in season 3, so we are actually getting towards the end of season 3. We kind of arbitrarily decided that during the summer we'll end about May, and then we're probably going to do a Mythic Quest rewatch. So nice. Cool. That is. We had the two lovely ladies from Mythic Quest, and so that episode will be dropping in a little bit. We had Megan Gans back for Basic Lupine Urology, so that'll be dropping. We've got a lot of friends, and I'm very excited. So it's so weird that we're already like almost so far in. I don't do every episode though, so that's a caveat. If you listen to our podcast versus a lot of the other rewatch ones, I'm like, you don't want to hear me talk about the episodes I don't like. I'm just gonna skip them. How about that?
Modeling self-care,
it's
by
my
the
podcast that I can do what I want. I did however promise that I if we reach 2,000 Twitter followers, I would recap what did I say? Oh my gosh, I can't even remember the episode title. That's how much I dislike it. What's the
Art of Discourse?
No, the other one.
You're not doing Art of Discourse, that's right?
No, it's the
Aerodynamics of Gender.
Oh, you don't like that one?
Well, I hate it.
Okay.
So
that's fantastic.
It's real. It's going to be real fun. But
I always say this. This is one of the things I love the most about Community and the Community fandom. It's like, even like the most diehard, like there's some, like, I hate that one.
Listen, we don't talk about the puppets. Yeah. Will loves to just send
about
me
the puppets or
my
drifting.
Husband loves to send me the gif of like the balloon ride. And I'm like, you better stop it.
Will's amazing.
I'm bringing on my good friend in real life, Thomas, to talk about that one, because that was the first episode of the show he ever watched. And he is really a fan of it. So I was like, good, you can balance out how much I hate that episode.
Yeah. There are episodes that I feel like a lot of people hate, or they're like just your specific episode of like, I loathe.
Can I just tell you that The Art of Discourse is penned by Chris McKenna, who also wrote arguably everyone's favorite episode, Remedial Chaos Theory. So he wrote the episode funny. I hate and the episode I love, and I don't know what to do with those.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there isn't an episode that somebody doesn't love. That's true.
People love the puppet.
I had heard a podcast during the summer where the host really, really thought that was the best episode of Community. And
What is wrong with them?
Okay.
People love The Art of Discourse. People love Aerodynamics of Gender. Yeah. I hate those. People love the pilot. I just feel meh.
Yeah, The Art of Discourse is a generational thing. If they're under 20, the odds of them liking go up a lot, because they know somebody just like that. They know those kids. They probably go to class with them. They possibly are them. They like that class.
But that's okay.
Am excited to encounter my first episode of Community that I hate. It hasn't happened yet. I did watch the puppets and I thought it was whatever.
But here's the thing:
I thought it was bad. I didn't think it was good, but I didn't hate it.
I can't wait to find what I hate.
That's gonna be a great day.
Watch the puppets, you didn't have the 3.5 seasons lead up to it. So yeah, it's gonna hit you differently. But there's an episode in season 1 that I personally don't like. So I'm interested to see if you don't like it.
Not Art of Discourse, but there's another one I don't enjoy that much that you'll catch. And I'm waiting to hear how you respond to it.
I haven't had that moment yet where like I've felt like so passionately anti something on the show.
See, I think it happens too. The more that you watch, but like, like it depends on where you fall in like how often you're rewatching, because like doing week to it is yeah. so fascinating too. I won't talk a lot because, you know, I don't want to keep everyone, but like it's so fascinating with people who I've met who've watched it, binge watched it, versus those of us who used to watch yeah. it week to week. Totally. And like the way that you feel about different things changes so dramatically. So I'm like, I'm very interested to hear how people who are just watching it now feel.
And I'm not doing the binge, right? Like, yeah. so like now, yeah. so yeah. I'm doing it weekly, but like unstuck in time. Like, I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
it's, yeah, you're a weird watcher.
Yeah, you're weekly, but like in 2021, you're watching week to week versus like weekly on NBC with commercials. Well,
you get to have a little time to digest it. So I think
also, different things are going to hit differently. There are going to be jokes that are not going to age. Well.
Yeah.
So
no, they will not.
In 2009, you would have had a very probably different response to watching certain things.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to your response to investigative journalism.
That's okay.
You don't like that one as much?
Not really.
It's coming as episode 13, Josh. That's not too far.
As a very serious investigative journalist myself.
Yeah, very serious.
This is going to be a really interesting episode.
I'm
very curious now.
I am really interested in your response to it. It's not, there's a handful that are not on my list that I really rewatch, and that's one of them. It's gotten better a little, but not
a little.
After I watch it, I'll have to do some investigative journalism
math. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about the moment you see it.
There you go.
You'll either love it or hate it. That's the two categories.
Great tease. Jess, what do you got going on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, the podcast?
It is still Mary Kate and Ashley month of March. Our bracket came out, so give that a listen. That was with TikTok Nicole Horn. And we also just did a podcast with Melissa Denny, which will be coming out this week, all about It Takes Two, and honestly, just general Mary Kate and Ashley shenanigans. Sure. There's some singing. There's some craziness. So give that a listen.
Pizza.
That is not the most iconic Mary Kate and Ashley song, though.
I have a hard time believing that.
But. Brother for Sale. Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Come on. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know any of this.
Poor Matt has no idea.
I grew up on Mary Kate and Ashley.
Exactly.
And the books that they had to. Anyway.
The books were good too. And then obviously Dawson's Creek, Boy Meets World. I know you're into scary things, Josh. We covered an episode of Dawson's Creek that was like a big homage to like Scream and
their Halloween one.
It was a fever dream. Sarah and I had no idea what was going on 90% of that episode. It was very strange. So give that a listen. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. We got plenty going on here on Post Show, whether it's Down the Hatch or The Walking Dead. I already told you some Falcon and the Winter Soldier coverage coming your way here very soon. And of course, weekly community content here next week. Shut up, Tim. Unbelievably great. I'm so happy. What a great, 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 great development. We'll be back next week, everybody. Until then, take care. Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Dale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.